Master.
Hello, hello. Welcome back, everybody, to another week, another episode of Profound Truth. Hope everybody is doing all right. How are you doing today, Ignacio?
So far, so good. How's everybody?
Good, good. I think you're mic. That's good, that's good. Today, we have another very profound and interesting topic. Excuse me. Today, our topic is a prophetic warning.
Amen. Amen.
Prophetic warning. And this is episode 74. Wow. 74.
God is good. Amen. God is good.
Amen. Amen.
We're working hard to bring you guys a very beautiful prophetic information, you know. And I think it's so good that I would say we can learn something from this particular message.
Amen. And like always, before we get started, you know, we always want to open up in prayer and all that we do, especially when we're doing something like this, we want to always open up in prayer. So before we get started, let's pray.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you before you, thanking you once again for this opportunity, thanking you for this chance, thanking you for us, allowing us to be able to do something like this, allowing us to be able to talk about you, to spread your word, to spread your gospel, to spread all your prophecies. As we look at this prophetic warning, Lord, we thank you for prophetic warnings, Lord, because you're a God who warns us, who tells us these things, Lord, and you leave it up to us to listen or not, Lord. You give us the free will, Lord, but we love you, God, and we listen, we heed your warnings, and we listen to what your warnings say, and we follow you, Lord, because you are faithful and you are true. And every prophecy and every word you said always comes to life. It always comes into reality, and you speak nothing but the truth because your word is truth. And we thank you for this message. We pray that it blesses everyone that's watching or listening and that's going to watch this or listen at a later time, Lord. Open our ears to understand what you're saying here tonight. Let your word be spoken and not our own, Lord. And we pray that you be with us in everything we talk about here tonight. Open our eyes to see things the way you see things, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for all of it, Lord. And we give you all honor and all glory in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Welcome to Profound Truth, everybody. And God bless you. It is important that we, you know, share with you guys the blessing of the gospel. And I think one of the things that make everything better is if you and I get connected, you know. Hold on a second. No, you can.
Oh, yes. As Ignacio said, we want to bring you this topic. We're going to be looking at today. We'll be looking at the book of Joel. The Joel definitely has a lot of things to tell us. A lot of prophetic things that, of course, were speaking to people back then, but also speaking to us here today. We can look at it and see some things that speak to us today in the book of Joel. So, what are we going to be looking at here today, Ignacio, in the book of Joel?
Yeah, we're going to... It's a book that only have, if I'm not mistaken, 3 chapters.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And we have something amazing, you know. If you can start reading at least the first...
Yeah. So, Joel begins with a stark and vivid description of devastation, a locust plague that ravages the land. In verse 13 of chapter 1, he calls upon the priests and elders to lament. Put on sackcloth and mourn, you ministers of the altar. Come spend the night in sackcloth, you ministers of my God. This call to attention is not simply a ritualistic response. It's a deep acknowledgement of the gravity of the situation. Just as the people of Israel face the consequences of their actions, we too must recognize the signs of our times. The world around us is plagued by moral decay, injustice, and spiritual famine. The first step toward transformation is awareness. Are we as a community paying attention to the cries for justice? Are we responding to the calls for healing in our families, churches, and nations? Are we?
Yeah.
This is something to look at. You know, today there's definitely a call to attention. And if you look around at everything that's going on in our world today, it's definitely something that we need to be aware of everything that's going on around us and be paying attention to everything that's going on around us.
Yeah, and one of the amazing part that we know, the book of Joel, speak about a prophetic warning to his people on that time, but also even our time.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we ask who is Joel, and we probably won't have that much information, you know, because the Bible doesn't describe that much. I think the only thing is his father that I mentioned in the description. But we know that according with the description and well, you know, like we place Joel in time of Amos, you know, like in that particular time, like 150 years before Daniel. And something that I love about this particular book, brother and sister, is that he starts his message by giving a warning. Just like the Lord always do. Mm-hmm. Because if you see Daniel, there was Jeremiah provided a warning before the action. And because God is more delight in giving you the opportunity to come back to him rather than just punish you.
Yeah. He's never going to just punish you without a warning, because throughout pretty much all the Old Testament was always a warning or a call to bring them back to God, because they were so far running away from God and worshiping other idols and doing just a lot of things that were contrary to God. And so he always gave them a warning to repent, to turn back, to turn away from their wicked ways. And he definitely always gives them a warning.
Yeah.
He definitely gives us a warning and tells us, you know, these things to today.
And this is something, brother, that I love, because he said, in this particular book, we can see that Joel has a prophetic warning that resonates not only in the ancient times, but also in our contemporary time, right? And the first things that he started mentioning is to highlight some incident or situation that happened before, and that the people in that particular time know very well. You know, when we talk about, if you can go, let me see, what is that on description? Yeah, if you can go, where he start talking about the warning about the, I forgot the name of this, the locals. I think that's how they call locals, right?
What's that?
The invasion that they have, the invasion, infestation with the plants. Let me see how they describe it over here.
Oh, the locusts.
Yeah, the locusts. That's the things that I will try to describe, you know. And he, I think it is, if I'm not mistaken, it's in the verse 13 and beyond. Try to see if you can read that part of the scripture.
Well, in what chapter?
Oh, in the one, I believe.
No, the locust, I think, is maybe chapter 2.
2? I don't have the Bible open. Let me check. You found it?
Mm-mm. It might be.
Okay.
Oh, it's in chapter one in the beginning. Yes. Yeah. So it says, starting with verse 2. Hear this, you leaders of the people. Listen, all who live in the land, in all your history. Has anything like this before happened? Tell your children about it in the years to come. Let your children tell their children. Pass the story down from generation to generation. After the cutting locusts finished eating the crops, the swarming locusts took what was left. After them came the hopping locusts and then the stripping locusts too. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wail, all you wine drinkers. All the grapes are ruined and all your sweet wine is gone. A vast army of locusts has invaded my land. A terrible army, too numerous to count. Its teeth are like lion's teeth. Its fangs are like those of a lioness. It has destroyed my grapevines and ruined my fig trees, stripping their bark and destroying it, leaving the branches white and bare. Weep like a bride dressed in black, mourning the death of her husband, for there is no grain or wine to offer at the temple of the Lord. So the priests are in mourning. The ministers of the Lord are weeping. The fields are ruined. The land is stripped bare. The grain is destroyed. The grapes have shriveled, and the olive oil is gone. Despair, all you farmers. Wail, all you vine growers. Weep because the wheat, the barley, all the crops of the field are ruined. The grapevines have dried up, and the fig trees have withered. The pomegranate trees, palm trees, and apple trees, all the fruit trees have dried up, and the people's joy has dried up with them.
All right. So we, it mentioned three times, or I believe four. Yeah,
three the different locusts.
Yeah, I believe even he mentioned the last one, that is whatever they left. And, you know, I think it is important to understand, making that differentiation of what type of locusts they mean. And the locust invasion of Israel, I wish I had connecting to share this image, is what we call in today time. Let me see, what is the name of, it's look like more like, it's not the one that, it look kind more
of,
like,
kind of like a grasshopper.
Grasshopper. Yeah, but the information about this particular insect or whatever it might be, mm-hmm. right, is that they are in 8 hours, they are capable to eat ton of food. Mm. That little creature, very small, but when they come, it's like a million at the same time. And unfortunately, you guys don't have this image that I have, but you see, this is a tree before and in a 30 minutes, they destroy everything. It's nothing. Yeah. It's empty. Just the branches. Yeah. I mean, the dry branches without the leaf or the green part. And what we're trying to tell you is that in this particular aspect, Joel, he start warning and remind them what happened. And because the aggressive of this particular insect, he come to let them know, hey, remember what happened on that time. It was not just something that came out of the blue. It's a warning.
Yeah.
And the situation that you guys went through during that time, that even he said that the first group that came is something that never happened before, you know, because the first group that came caused damage. But the remaining of that, the second group came and caused even more damage until the third. And he's even highlighted that to those people that love to drink, remember that there was no grain for you to provide to make the wine, you know. I mean, everybody, even the drunk one, was suffering throughout the situation.
Yeah, he's making it clear that you know, this set of locusts came, they cleared it up, and then another set of, like, there was nothing. Everything was completely wiped out, gone. So I think that's what the point he's trying to get them to remember, is that there was nothing. So for everybody to remember that the locusts came through and cleared out everything.
So Joel say that begins with a start and a vivid description of the devastation, a local plague that really, really rebakes the land. And you can see that in the verse 13. He calls upon the priest and the elderly to lament. Why? Because it was sad. I mean, think about it. For Israel, ancient time, on that particular time, if you lose the agriculture, you lose everything.
Yeah.
Because that's how they survive. It's not like today, you know, we can go to the supermarket and we have some type of food that we can, supply ourselves, you know. But in that particular time, there was none like that.
Yeah, if something gets wiped out, they have to go and plant these things, and they have to wait for the harvest and for everything to grow again and to come back. They have to, so they're gonna go a good while with nothing at all. Like Ignacio, they weren't able to just go to the grocery store and go grocery shopping right quick.
Amen. And then he said, just as the people of Israel face the consequence of their world, you know, the action, we too must recognize the sign of our time. The world around of us in the plague by moral decay. Wow. In today's time, God is sending a warning, a very prophetic warning to those people that has been distanced themselves from the Lord. And like always, God just wants us to be connecting back to Him. God wants you, my friend, brother and sister, to seek Him. That don't stop seeking Him. Just doesn't matter how the circumstance in your life you have been going through. Don't stop seeking for His love, because the warning is really establishing. And the sad part of this, brother, is that as we think we are young enough, we are not thinking about God right now. Mm-hmm. And our mind is focused on, what I want to do, probably buy a house, a car, have a woman, and, you know, enjoy life. But we are, every day, every moment, every second, getting farther, farther, you know, and even farther away from the Lord. And He's calling you, He's calling me as a warning. Get back to Him.
Amen. That's right. Yeah. As Ignacio said, we get so distracted with so many different things, and we find ourselves getting, you know, everything is distracting us, getting further and further away from. But really, the whole time we need to be drawing closer to Him. And you know, looking at the time we're in, I mean, I know we say this a lot, but it's serious. I mean, you look around and you see, you know, we don't literally have the locusts eating everything up, but we are in a time where we see groceries at a skyrocket high. We see crazy people doing crazy things everywhere, and it's God allowing us to see this as a call to come back to us. We want to see change in the world. We want to see change in the country. We want to see things change, but God's not going to operate on that change that we want if we're not even seeking Him and praying to Him, because that's what He's calling them here to do, is to seek Him, to fast, to pray, to mourn, to when you're mourning, you're sad, you know. We see all these things going on around, but we're just so busy living our lives to where we feel like, you know, maybe that's not affecting you, it's not affecting us, so it's not nothing for us to worry about. But then at the same time, though, when something goes wrong for us, the first thing we want to do is complain and we run to God about it. But the whole time we should be seeking God for our lives and for the world and everything going on around us, so we could see that change. Because God says, I think it's in Chronicles, if that we would seek His face, repent, turn away from our sins, that God would heal our land. And so that's what we're asking. And it's the same thing here. They were going through a time where the locusts ate it up. And they ate everything, and He's giving them a warning that everything's gone. But the point of it is we need to get back to Him and seek Him.
Yeah, and the amazing part of this is, brother and sister, friend, is that the invitation is not just about the judgment of the Lord, you know. is also to remind you, to remind us, or to have an invitation of repentance. And he says something very great in this particular part. He said, yet, at me that the warning of judgment, Joel offers a pathway to hope through repentance. Wow. In Joel 2, 12, 13, if you can read that, brother, I think it is clear that he made that call.
Yes, in 2, 12 to 13. That is why the Lord says, turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Don't tear your clothing in grief, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not to punish.
Amen. Amen. And you know, here the repentance is not just a superficial act. It is a heart transformation. You know, it is when you really recognize that, hey, I'm being walking away from the Lord. So let me do what I have to do, because in this particular time, on Joel times, you know what they asking? Okay, what is it that the Lord wants us to do, for us to do it, and that's it.
Yeah.
And they trying to kind of like, okay, if there is some action that I have to do, then I will do it and pay the whatever we have to pay to the Lord, and then we repent already. But what he was trying to advise, to encourage them, is to turn their heart from the evil way that they were going through to God.
Yeah.
Very different. You know, like at the beginning, they say, okay, what is it what we have to do to, you know, comply with the Lord? And that's not what the Lord is looking. God wants your heart to make a 180 degree back to him.
Yeah.
Because the path that you are right now going through, it's never going to end well for you, brother and sister, friend. He just wants you to be eternally with him. And he said over here, and if you just repent with a heart transformed, you know, God desires sincerely over sacrificing, and he longs for us to turn back to him and to, you know, return with our whole heart, not just with one part. Or yeah. maybe, I'm going to go to church on Sunday, brother. Yeah. But then my heart is really in something different.
Yeah.
And that's the advice that he's trying to tell us, because even in Jeremiah book 29 verse 11, if I'm not mistaken, he said, because I know your path, and I want to provide you with a, I'm paraphrasing, you know, with a blessing future.
Yeah.
I want to give you a hope for you to overcome whatever situation. He's not a God that will please himself and in your danger, in your suffering, in your pain. No, that's why he provided the warning. And believe me, if you see this, he started by reminding what happened with this plague that came over to the land and affects all the green area. And he tried to make them understand that that was not a coincidence, you know, that a plague came and destroyed. No, because he even emphasized that not even the remaining part was right there, if not that another type of locust came and ate the remaining. And not only that, even if just to make even harder, is there was something left, another part came and took it and destroyed everything. But that God doesn't want you to experience it. God doesn't want you to go through that process. He wants you to be free from all this. That's why he first provide the reality of what is going on, what will happen if you don't do it. And then he invite you to repent. And what else, brother?
The promise of restoration.
Oh, what is that part? Oh my goodness, that's a good one. I think it's in Joel
2:25.
Yeah. So,
the Lord says, I will give you back what you lost to the swarming locust, the hopping locust, the stripping locust, and the cutting locust. It was I who sent the great destroying army against you. Once again, you will have all the food you want, and you will praise the Lord your God, who does these miracles for you. Never again will my people be disgraced.
So you see, there was four type of locusts, right?
Yeah.
And he said, yes, you went through this because of your behavior. You went through this path because of your behavior. You act against me. But guess what? If you turn back, this is the restoration promise. I will give you back everything that you lost and more.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. He always has a plan. It's always it's never like he's just going to punish anybody. Or all throughout the Bible, he doesn't just punish people and then not have a plan of restoration. God is a God of restoration. He wants to get you back. But as we said in the first part, it takes you having a heart change. If you giving your heart fully to the Lord and humbling yourself enough to admit to God that you messed up and to repent and ask for that forgiveness and make that 180 and turn your heart back to him. And he promises that if you do that, he plans to restore. He's not going to leave you as they did with the locusts as he left. They were wiped out. But no, he planned to restore them and bring them. It says to bring them back to where they were at before it happened.
Yes. And I love the fact that God always intentional to turn our hearts back to him. Always. It's not like I want to do this because I want to punish you. God doesn't really please himself. He doesn't need to prove us, you know, that he wants to punish us. He wants to rescue. To the contrary, that's why he's always send a prophet, you know. And in this case, he sent his prophet Joel. And people in today's world are listening to those prophets through any preaching that is talking about God wants your heart to turn back. God is intentionally working to connect you back to him. He provides, even after when there was no way for humankind to be able to overcome what was coming, he provided a way. Because he always provided a path for you to skip this judgment.
Yeah.
And we are working on that, you know.
Yeah.
It's not that just because we are set, we won't fall, you know, we're going to do a lot of stuff. No. But we still have a heart that wants to please the Lord.
Amen.
And as much as depend, brother, in our own strength, we're going to work hard to make it happen. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, when we talk about restoration, I mean, that's always God always has a plan. Even as we talked about in our group last week, in the beginning with Adam and Eve, he already had a plan how to get us back to him, how to restore us back to the Father. And it was through Jesus, through that seed. And he had that plan from the beginning, because if he didn't, he could have just, once sin came into the world at the beginning, if he wanted to, he could have just left it. But that's not what he wanted to do. He wanted to restore us. He wanted us to bring us back to that place. And that's what he's been doing since the beginning.
Amen.
But us as people, we always have something, or something gets us off track. And it's always something that we have to turn back to God. And he gives us that option. It's definitely a free will. And that's how love is. It's not forcing it, but his heart His heart for us is to turn back, and for us to turn back, He wants us to have His, to give us His heart. I mean, give our heart to Him fully. And like, not so it's not just, oh, I'm going to go to church today, or I'm just going to do this. No, He wants a relationship with you, and it's just like a relationship with a friend or with your husband or your wife. You know, it's a daily relationship. It's not just a once a day, once a week, once a day relationship. No, it's a relationship, and you're going to have your days just like in any relationship. You're going to have your days. You can have your good days. You'll have your bad days. But at the end of the day, though, if we could just turn our hearts and continue trusting Him and believing Him, knowing that, as it says all throughout His word, that no matter what, He has a restoration plan for us, for our lives.
Yeah, that is truth. And, you know, we are working hard to make it positive for us, you know, to please our Lord. But God is not, it's not like a, oh, you had to be the perfect saint, you know. And to fulfill or to follow this path. Because if that would be the case, none of them would be able to repent, you know. But He loved, God loved a humble heart that want to please Him. Just look at David. God was able to say that David has a heart like Him. And if you see all the behavior, the sin, the mistake that he committed, you would understand that he's just like a common man, like you and me, or a woman, you know, like on those days. It's not that you're going to be able to walk in a very way that you won't even do any mistake. And we're trying to explain that to people, because sometimes when people approach, or they stop approaching God because they think, oh no, I have too much things going on in my life. Or maybe because they did something that I think I don't deserve forgiveness. But the reality, brother, is that we are fallen human being. But the one that never fall is Jesus. Amen. And when you accept Jesus, what you're saying is, Jesus, I want that, what you have, to be deposited in me. And now the Lord God will look at you as you fled, falling individual like we are, but as Jesus, as righteous.
Amen.
And that's what we have. That's why we are today providing you with this prophetic warning.
Yeah.
A highlighter. A moment for you to think, say, wait a minute, is my life important or not to come back to God and continue having this eternally? Because the reality is, brother and friend, that either you like it or not, we are eternal being. Now, the difference is a separation, eternal separation with God. It means suffering. But God doesn't want this. That was designed for some group of fallen angels. But the reality is that you have to accept Jesus. Just like Joel was saying, that there is a way to escape from this horrific part. And there is a way for you to, like, no matter how far we have strayed, no matter how calamity we have faced due to our choice, there exists a God who not only judge but also restore. And this is what we want, you, myself, to be restored. And He jeers to rebuild what has been lost. Wow, brother. You see that?
Yeah.
He's really intentionally seeking any possibility to restore what you lost, what I lost. Because the reality, in the beginning, He created us to be in fellowship constantly with Him. Yeah. Right, brother?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, no, yeah. It's the beginning. He He never planned. His plan wasn't for it to be how it is, but he definitely made a plan for us to be able to return back to him. And even greater, as Joel even talks down a little later, is it talks about the promise of his Spirit. And then we see in the New Testament that Jesus talks about the promise of the Holy Spirit, the helper. So not only does he want to restore us, he's with us. And he also, when we accept Jesus, he sends his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to be our helper, to convict us, to when we're doing stuff like the stuff we're talking about, when we're living a life of sin. And the Holy Spirit's going to give us that conviction to help us get that push to turn back away from us, and to tell us that we need to repent and we need to make that decision to turn back to God. But like I said, thank God we have the Holy Spirit that's there with us, and he's always Amen. With us, and he's not going to leave us. And as long as we be obedient to hearing what the Holy Spirit's telling us when we're doing those things, or when we're operating in any type of sin, and we listen, the Holy Spirit is going to be there to help you to help you turn back, and not just turn back, but to guide you and talk to you and to guide you into the things you should be doing in your life, to help you to walk closer with God, to help you to have that communion with God as he planned all the way since the beginning, to have that fellowship with him.
Amen. Amen. And you know, I know we are kind of like going on, you know, to the portion of this episode conclusion, but definitely I want to emphasize on this. The invitation is open, and the grace is abundant. I cannot say, but the grace is abundant, you know. And we have, as we live today, brother, friends, sister, let it carry with us a weight of Joel message, which is a warning of judgment. But this is not just to implant fears, you know, to scare people around. To the contrary, brother, this is to connect people even better with the Lord.
Yeah, no, it is. It connects. I mean, when we see a warning and we talk about a warning, really, that warning is, if you really look at it, it's really the hope that we're talking about, because thank God he gives us a warning. I mean, what kind of loving father wouldn't want to warn their son or their daughter when they're going the wrong way? It's just like your parents would tell you, don't touch that stove, it's hot, don't do this, or this is going to happen. There's always that. Your parents always gave you a warning. And as kids, of course, we had to learn. Sometimes we didn't listen, and when we didn't listen, something happened to us. So it's the same way with God. He's giving us a warning. He's telling us to just listen. And then, of course, as we see throughout the Bible, a lot of times they didn't listen, even as us today. Sometimes God's warning us, and sometimes we don't listen. And it's not that God wants to put punishment on us, but being a righteous judge, if we do something, then we face the consequences. But he doesn't just leave us with that part. After that, just as any loving parent would, after you discipline a child, you know, you come with the love and you let them know you love them, and you let them know why you did that and what they can do to do better. And it's the same thing with God. He punishes. He lets us know, or we already know, why what happened, but he also welcomes us back as a father with love, that just to give his heart, our hearts back to him, and to turn away from that sin, turn away from whatever it is that we're doing, and to come back into him. And he's there with arms wide open waiting for us.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, as we are in this journey talking on about the book of Joel, I wanted to pray and you know, ask our Father to really, really help us. Heavenly Father, that you are in heaven, Lord. We are here, my Lord Jesus. And we appreciate that you allow us, Lord, to talk about this important message about the book of Joel. Lord, we want you to help us to put it into practice, Lord, that not only this warning can be a heads up for us, but also that we sincerely can approach to you and repent with a really, really open heart, Lord. We don't want, my Lord Jesus, that you come back or our life is time for to be back to you, and we escape this warning. We escaped this opportunity to come back to you, my Lord, because we might be so busy in our own life that we don't have time for you, Lord. God, help us. Help us to understand that even in our busy schedule, daily routine, Lord, we can come back to you, my Lord, and sincerely repent and have a heart willing to please you, willing to come back to you. And understanding, Lord, that you go back whenever we are, just because you love it more than anything, Lord. And you prove it when you provide your son, when you give your only son, your only beloved son, for my sin, to die for my sin and for everybody's sin, Lord. But the action, you put it really, really clear that we have to accept him. Help all to accept it. And those that hasn't been able to accept it, my Lord God, help them. Help them, Lord, to accept it. And also, once they repent with a sincere heart, they can also put this into practice. Amen, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And what do you think, brother, about this unique, I would say, book? And I know one other thing, I don't know if you want to mention about that, but one of the things that this book talk is a prophecy about the dream.
Yeah, about the Holy Spirit. Like I was saying, it promises the Holy Spirit. It says your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. And in those days, he's going to pour out a spirit, even on servants, men and women alike. And so when you look at that, it's like, so when we think about it, the Holy Spirit's going to be for everybody, you know, because back in these times, a lot of things, God selected people, or even for women were held at a, you know, back then it was different, at a lower standard. So usually the men were the one that God was doing, not all things, but a lot of stuff with. Or when most of the time when you see people with the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, they're usually men, but he's letting them know that, no, he's going to pour his spirit out on everyone.
Amen.
Men, women, whether you're a rich person, a slave, a servant, whatever you're doing.
Amen.
The gift of the Holy Spirit is for everybody, for all people. And not only that, is that, I mean, that's something that the Holy Spirit, as the New Testament explains, there's a lot of gifts, and some people prophesy. God will give you a prophetic dream or a vision where you get to see, where you see something before you and he gives you prophetic vision. And there's definitely a lot of other gifts. You know, some people have healing, and some people have, I'm trying to think of some more of the gifts, but
definitely
a lot of different gifts. But it's a promise that, I mean, thank the Lord that we have that promise, and we see that promise today. So when we look at that promise, we say, man, God, you're good, because you said this all the way, as we said, Joel was a long time ago, and we see, even to this day, we see the Holy Spirit being poured out onto people everywhere. It's a blessing.
And you know, something interesting is that the Holy Spirit always has been operating, but it never operated the way it is doing after Jesus.
Yeah.
After Jesus promised this to his disciple, and 40 days after the crucifixion or ascension from after Jesus ascended from to heaven, the Holy Spirit was, this prophecy was really fulfilled over there.
Yeah.
But it didn't stop right there. It continued being fulfilled in your life, in my life,
yeah,
in your life as well. It's one of the prophecies that will be fulfilled and continue being fulfilled.
Yeah, amen. Because like I said, people are still receiving the Holy Spirit. Where, like the promise says, his promises, they don't end, they don't stop. So
amen.
We see people to this day that when you accept Jesus, you get that promise that Joel's talking about here, and that Jesus comes to talk about later in the New Testament, the promise of the Holy Spirit, the helper, the advocate, our counselor.
Amen.
It's definitely a blessing. You know, we can't do it, as the word says, not by might, not by power, but by his spirit, says the Lord. We're able to do these things and operate in that.
Amen. Amen. So, brother and sister and friends that are watching this episode, we want to encourage you, you know, to share this video, to share with everybody. And it is simple for you to do so. You just share that link on Facebook, yeah, in any social media, you know.
Yeah.
And that helped, right?
Yeah. Get the message out, you know. This is a message for everyone to hear. So, you know, share it on all the different platforms, which we've definitely opened up a lot of different platforms. YouTube, Facebook, X, Twitch, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Samsung Podcasts, Pandora, Amazon, and there's a couple other ones. So
yeah, and you might think that, oh no, what am I going to share? But let me tell you, it is amazing to see people from Europe and from the Middle East download those audio or video, you know, because we are blessed here in this side of the world that we can talk about the Lord with no problem.
Yeah.
But they over there, they cannot do it so easily. Yeah. They had to be on the cover Christian, because if they say something public, they might be the last things that they say, you know.
They could be killed or thrown in prison, one or the other. And so it's just a blessing that we're here and we have the opportunity to talk about Jesus freely, and also we have the technology and the things to be able to get the message out. Because as meaning us, what he's saying is we looked at it, we could look at the analytics, and this message has been, things that we've been putting on these podcasts have been reaching all throughout the world. So that's motivation for you. Is yes, missing trips are good, but right now you could do something right from where you're at with the technology we have here. You're able to get that message out to the world. You're able to get that message out to all these, the different nations, different parts of the world. So be encouraged. Amen. It's not always as complicated as you think. It's as simple as just sharing that message with somebody, and then that person continues to share it with somebody else.
Yeah, man. And if you are looking for a church, we also can recommend the one. What do you think, brother?
Yes. We always like to, if you're in the area looking for a church, we welcome you to come to our church. It's the Fellowship Texas City, and it's, the address is 2222 North Highway 146, Texas City, Texas. And we have three services. We have 8:15, 10 o'clock, and 11:45. And we also, if you have, we have someone, a family member or a friend, or that speaks Spanish, is more comfortable with Spanish, they also have a headset that they could receive at the front from somebody, and they could hear the message translated in Spanish, and could be all together, united in the body of Christ, hearing the same message at the same time. So come out, come join us, and
amen.
This is share good. This, get the message out there. That's what we're here to do. That's what Jesus calls us to do, to speak to everybody. We don't want to get saved and then just keep that to ourselves. We want to help assist the kingdom of God and win people for Jesus and get them salvations and bring them in so they could find that peace that they look at you. You might have Jesus and they look at you and wonder where that peace comes from, and you could share with them that peace, and that peace is in Jesus.
Amen. And also, if you want to wake up with a beautiful word of acknowledgement, you know, or wisdom or healing, whatever might be the case, we also provide our daily devotional, Spark Hope, you know.
Spark of Hope.
We have it in English and in Spanish as well.
And
I think it's powerful. We also see those, you know, people download very often.
All across the world.
And it is good because you can, you know, download those video, audio, and play and meditate in the Lord, because we try always to connect the scripture on whatever we do, connecting God with everything. And I'm going to tell you, when you wake up with a early juice or coffee, whatever you might have of the scripture, that's a good beginning for you to start, you know, because sometimes we might feel like very down, you know, we are not willing to move forward, maybe our circumstance in life is very strong, you know, but if you hear that word of the Lord,
that encouragement, that encouragement, spark of hope.
Yeah. Ooh, you world can turn very, very different in a positive way, you know.
Amen.
And that's what we are doing this. We're going to be continue investing for the Lord to bless you, brother. Amen. See you on the next.
See y'all next time. God bless. Time.
This is your brother Ignacio and
Ernie.
Ernie.
God bless. Y'all have
profound truth. God bless you.